The greatest question anyone ever could ask is the question, what must I do to be saved? Three times in the New Testament we have that question, though it's found in different wording. Acts 2:37, on that Pentecost day, there were those who said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts 9:6, when Saul, there speaking to the Lord himself on the road to Damascus, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Acts 16:30, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There are a lot of important questions. There's none more important than that question. We need to ask it, and we need to get the correct answer to it. The reason we need to ask that question is the greatest possession that we have is the soul. Jesus said, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Matthew 16:26. The greatest problem we have is sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18:20. So the greatest problem we have is sin. The greatest question then is what to do that we might be saved. Every accountable person is either lost or saved. Everyone here tonight who is responsible, that is, who is accountable, is either lost or saved. There is no in between. There is no not quite lost, but almost saved. You're either lost or saved. We trust that you know tonight where you stand with God. If not, we hope you will by the time we're through. Because every accountable person is either traveling that broad way that leads to destruction, or that narrow way that leads to life, Matthew 7:13-14. Every accountable person is either ready for death, in that he is living in the Lord, that he might die in the Lord, Revelation 14:13, or he is not ready for death, but rather he will die in his sins, John 8:24, if he continues in his current course. And for every accountable person, there is awaiting him either everlasting punishment or life eternal, Matthew 25:46. Thus the question, what must I do to be saved, is the most important question anyone ever could ask. Let's look at these words one by one. The word "what" indicates there's something that must be done. But the question is, what is it? There's something that must be done. We need to know what that something is. Now, how shall we find the correct answer? If we go to the doctrines of men, Matthew 15:9, we'll find all kinds of answers, but not the correct one. If we seek to find from ourselves the answer, Jeremiah 10:23 tells us the way of man is not in himself. There may be ways that appear to be right, Proverbs 14:12, but really end in death. So how shall we know what to do to be saved? We need to go to the right source. Now, who could tell us better what to do to be saved than the Savior himself, the one who offers to us salvation? I mentioned earlier this week of my conversation with a lady where she said the fellow on the television says one thing, the preacher on the radio says something else, the preacher where I go says another thing, and now you're telling me something different. I can understand the confusion. We need to go to the source to get the correct answer. Matthew 17:5, the voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Notice this, "Hear ye him." Hebrews 1:1 and following. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, that is, at different times and in different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. His Son is the one, then, whom we are to hear. He is the one who has been given all power, all authority, Matthew 28:18. He is the Savior. And so it is His Word by which we shall be judged, John 12:48. It is His Word then that we must hear. So if we want to know what to do to be saved, understanding there is something that must be done, we need to go to the right source that we might know the correct answer. But look at the second word, must. What must I do to be saved? This is not just a suggestion. This is not something that is optional, take it or leave it. The question is not what might I do, what may I do, what could I do, what should I do. This is something that must be done. It is a requirement. It is absolutely essential. It is not something that changes based upon time, situation, circumstance, culture, prejudice, emotion, or any other such thing. This is a requirement. For example, when Saul asked the Lord, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Acts 9. The Lord said, "Go into the city, that is Damascus, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Here's something that is absolutely necessary. For example, look at John 8:24. John 8:24, Jesus said, "If ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." We don't want to die in our sins. Surely any right-thinking person would say, "I don't want to die in my sins." Then what must we do? If you don't believe in me, you'll die in your sins. We don't want to die in our sins. What must we do? We must believe in Him. This is a comprehensive term that includes all that we do by faith. It is defined by Thayer as faith, or trust rather, conjoined with obedience. And so it is not just mental asset that there is one who claims to be the Christ. It is rather our trust in Him and our obeying Him. If we don't want to die in our sins, there's something we must do. Else we will die in our sins. What must I do? Notice that word, I. That makes it personal, doesn't it? What must I do? It is not what must God do for me or to me. God has already done for us what He must do. He has shown His great love, Romans 5:8. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God has done already what He must do. It is not what must God do for us. He has already done it. And it is not what must God do to us. I've had people tell me some things that I wonder if they really believe what they've said. How they have had certain experiences, things they supposedly have seen or felt. It is not what must I feel. It is what must I do. And I am responsible for that. It is not God who does something to me. It is not what must Christ do. He's already done that. John 15, He said, "I lay down my life." Hebrews 2:9, He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Philippians 2:5 through 8, He took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Read Isaiah 53. Christ has already done for us what He must do. It is not then what must Christ do for us or to us. It is not what must the Holy Spirit do for us or to us. He has, as John 16:13 shows, the promise of Christ to the apostles, provided them with that truth that they were to preach, and through the work of inspiration and revelation has given to us the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It is not what must the preacher do. Sadly, there are some, even in the Lord's church, who have the misconception that somehow the preacher, by his speaking once a week to those children that that person has brought into this world, that simply by his speaking 25 or 30 minutes once a week, if they come that many times, can undo everything that those children have seen and heard the rest of the week and make those children into Christians, when mom and dad have not shown them the right way. It is not what must the preacher do. It is not what must the elders do or the deacons do or the Bible class teacher do. It's not what must mama do or daddy do or my wife or my husband or any other relationship. It is what must I do. That makes it personal, doesn't it? I've stated two or three times already, if I could obey the gospel for you, I would. If I could be baptized for you, I would. I can't do that. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether good or bad. What must I do? John 5:28-29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It's personal. It depends upon what I do, and nobody else can do that for me. What must I do? Here's something that must be done. It is absolutely necessary. And my responsibility is personal. Look at that word do. What must I do? I grew up hearing that you don't have to do anything. Did you hear that when you grew up? Some of you did. I grew up hearing there's nothing you can do to be saved. And the very idea of having to do something was one of the greatest sins one could commit. Oh, you don't have to do anything. This question asks, what must I do to be saved? It is not what must I experience. I've had people tell me all kinds of experiences. One lady told me that God came into her room and hovered in the corner and spoke to her. I said, you know, the Bible says no man has seen God at any time. You're the first one. Of course, she didn't really see God. Others have told me that Jesus came and spoke to them. Or an angel came, or the Holy Spirit somehow revealed to them. They had a dream, they had a vision, they saw something, they felt something, they experienced something. It is not what must I feel or experience or get. It is not what must I imagine. It is what must I do. It is interesting that in every one of these instances where someone has claimed some miraculous appearance, some vision, in every one of them, the result was that that person was reassured that he or she was okay. God spoke to this lady and said, you're all right. I've been trying to teach her what to do to be saved. Jesus came and sat on the bed and told this lady, you're okay. The Holy Spirit revealed to this one, in every case, they were living in disobedience to God. They were foreign to the body of Christ. They were not hearing what God had revealed to them and following it in every case. But now they've had an experience, a vision, something that tells them they're okay, they're saved. It is not what must I experience. It is what must I do. Look at Acts 2:37 again. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 9:6, Saul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Acts 16:30, the jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, if it were true, as so many claim, that we don't have to do anything, wouldn't this have been a wonderful time to settle forevermore that question? All Peter and the others on that day would have had to have said was, you don't have to do anything. And the Lord, the Savior, could have straightened this out forever if he had told Saul, you don't have to do anything. And Paul and Silas finally could have settled it and said to the jailer, you don't have to do anything. That's not what they said. What must I do? Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. You're not doing what I say. Now they were saying, Lord, Lord. That is, they were calling him Master. And calling him Master, they were saying, we're your servants. Jesus says, if you're my servants, you would do what I say. But you don't do what I say, so why do you call me your Master? I'm not your Master. If Jesus is not our Master, he's not our Savior. We're not his servants, we're not saved. Why don't you do what I say? Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Matthew 7:21 and following. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but, notice this, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Somebody says, well, you folks believe in works righteousness. We believe in the Bible. Read James 2:14 and following. I grew up being told salvation by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. I read James 2 one day and I saw there it says, you're justified by works and not by faith only. Not works of merit. Not works of the old law. That simply means we do what God says. We obey Him. Hebrews 5:8-9. Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. That's James 2. You're saved when you obey Him. When you do what He says to do. And so the question is, what must I do to be saved? John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments, do what I say. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, we do what He says. What must I do to be saved? Now, if you listen to people and you find it convenient, easier, at least in your way of thinking, to believe this idea that salvation is by faith only, that will work only for as long as you don't have to face the judgment. It might be okay, at least in your thinking. It might be okay in your thinking as you go through life, but when you come to the end of life, it's not going to work. Because Jesus is going to be the one who judges. I've had people tell me, preacher, here's my plan. When I get close to death, I'm going to say, Lord, save me. And I'll be saved because I call on the name of the Lord. Read Matthew 7:21 again. It's not just calling out the Lord's name. In calling upon the name of the Lord, we do what He says. Acts 22:16. What must I do to be saved? Let's see what the answer is. Acts 2:37, on that Pentecost day, when they heard the gospel preached for the first time in its fullness, and they were convinced that they by wicked hands had crucified Christ, and now they realize their guilt and their need, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter and the other apostles replied. The answer is repent. Why not believe? Oh, they already believed. Didn't have to tell them to believe. They already believed. They indicated that when they asked the question. The one whom they had crucified, they thought was an imposter. Now they think he's the Christ. So what must they do? They already believe. Now they're told, repent and be baptized. That "and" makes both of those equal, grammatically, equal in importance. For what purpose? In order to have your sins remitted. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized to have your sins remitted. They already believed. That's not difficult to understand, is it? It doesn't take a Ph.D. and a year's worth of study to understand that answer. It was given just like that. What do we do? Repent and be baptized. Why? To have your sins remitted. We're not already saved. No, you're not already saved. Acts 2:40, he told them to save themselves from this untoward generation. How did they do that? By hearing that gospel, believing in Christ, repenting and being baptized. And those who so did were added to the church that day. And the Lord adds to the church daily those that are being saved, Acts 2:47. So So here's the question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? They already believe. Repent and be baptized in order to have your sins remitted. Acts 9. Saul asked the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He went. For 3 days he prayed and fasted. Did he believe in Christ? Yes, he did. Was he penitent? Yes, he was. So when Ananias, the disciple of the Lord, was sent by the Lord to Saul, he didn't have to say to him, believe, he already believed. He didn't have to say to him, repent, he was already penitent. And so he said, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. That's how you do that. Acts 22:16. By being baptized, we contact that cleansing blood of Christ, Revelation 1:5, that washes away our sins. That's how our sins are washed away. So on Pentecost Day, those believers were told to repent and be baptized to have their sins remitted. Now Saul, when he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Believing in Jesus and repenting, now he's told to be baptized to have his sins washed away. Acts 16, the jailer. Said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Where did he get the idea to be baptized? Did he present that to Paul and Silas and say, you know, I've been thinking about this and I wonder if y'all could baptize me? They looked at each other and said, well, it's not really important, but I guess we could. Is that how it worked? Did they tell him, well, you know, you're not saved by baptism, but we can go ahead and baptize you? How did he get that idea? They preached the word of the Lord to him. That's how. Here's a man who was told to believe, and now upon his being taught, what does he do? He washes their stripes, indicating his penitence. He may have been the one to put those stripes on them. Now he has believed, he has shown his repentance, and what is he told? Be baptized, and thus he was. He and all his, that is all those in his household, of course of accountable age, were baptized straightway, immediately, same hour of the night. It's not hard to understand the answer to this question. This is the most important question you could ever ask. You need to know the answer. Go to God for the answer. It doesn't come from some man or group of men or some religious organization. It comes from God and His Word that is the truth, John 17:17. And when you hear the answer, you can hear just as those in the first century did. And just as surely as they could understand it, you can understand it. And they obeyed it, you can obey it. When you do what they did, you'll become what they became. Followers of Christ. Numbered among the saved, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, added to the Lord's church, on the way to heaven. So what do you need to do to be saved? That's what we want, isn't it? We want to be saved. It is not enough for us simply to throw up our hands and say, I'm confused about it. That's not good enough. It's not enough to say, well, I heard somebody say, or my parents believed it this way, or I've always thought, that's not good enough. We need to go to the source and get the right answer. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. I've had people say baptism does not save us. Then why didn't God put it in there that way? Why didn't he have that verse say baptism does not save us instead of it saying baptism does now save us? Mark 16:15-16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Somebody says, I don't think you have to be baptized. And why did God put it that way? Why didn't he put in there, he that believeth shall be saved? And you don't have to be baptized. That's not what he put. God put it in there just like he intended. Just like he planned and purposed. Just as he wants it to be revealed to us. That belief, that faith that prompts us in everything that we do in obedience to His will culminates in our being baptized. Why? Because the Church of Christ says so. No. Because God commands it. Acts 10:48. In order that we might be saved. Have our sins remitted. Have our sins washed away. Be baptized into Christ, from which we arise to walk in newness of life. Be added to the church by the Lord because of that. What must I do to be saved? There's the question. The most important question anybody ever could ask. We need to know the answer, and we've shown it to you from God's holy word. Acts 2:41, those that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day they were added to the church, about 3,000 of them. Acts 16, that jailer and his whole household were baptized. Acts 9:22, Saul was baptized. He heard what to do to be saved. He didn't argue with the Lord. He didn't try to come with another way. He didn't say, I always believed it this way, or most people I know go that way. He simply did what he was told to do. That's what we must do today. If you want to be saved, you will not be trying to argue with God. You'll simply look to God's Word and in humble, penitent response to God's merciful grace, say, I want to do what the Lord says to do because I want to be saved. And you can do that tonight. Believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. Continue faithfully thereafter. You can be saved now and be saved eternally. Would you come if you need to while we stand and sing?